Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into a good worship mood here, and appreciate that. All right. John 14.
We're already there.
Well, we were there. Last night at Revelation, we're in 19 and verse 11, and we read all the way from 19:11 through 21:8 or 9, and just went, it outlined real well. So, all right, Doc, how you doing? I got some things for you before you get away. Okay, let's talk about our prayer. And first of all, Tish went to Dr. Day. Got a report?
Good report.
Good. Very good. No. Jim, I don't think I want him looking at my blood that closely. They will find no parasites unless they're well pre-pickled, well preserved. And it's really nice having Don Becker here, and Nancy is at home and about the same, maybe a little worse, but about the same with Julie. So we'll be continue to be in prayer for Nancy, and God's will be done in her life, and then we're for Julie and taking care, and Don as he traveled here, and then he'll go home maybe Saturday or very early Sunday. And so let's see, who else do we have to be in prayer for? Vic George Edwards, we need to be in prayer for him. Be in prayer for Harold Simonson. Need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. And I went to see Bill Sunday, and he's not doing real well. And it's just a tragedy, and Don and I've talked about it regarding Nancy, that, you know, those who just love life and had vitality and all, and see Bill in his current condition. He's got some pictures of when he was a pilot in World War II, and boy, he's got all that curly hair, and man, you can just tell he was a ladies man. And he's lived a great life. Let's see. So that's Bill, Harold, Vic, Nancy, and Julie and Don, and Tish. Let's see, anybody else? I guess we need to continue to be in prayer for Nathan as he goes to the military. Need to be in prayer for Christine, Judah's mother, and just getting more and more used to being at home. And her son right now is staying there. And okay, yes. Cadence. Need to always be in prayer for Cadence or mom and dad. And, yeah, absolutely. So, okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. We've got a beautiful concept in John in dealing with love. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for these rather difficult passages in the Gospel of John 14 and dealing with the concept of love. We pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in it. But how grateful we are for the impact of spiritual love, divine love, going together here, Father. We pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's look at chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments. Not all the commandments in the Bible, namely faith and love. They can be plural or singular. Has my commandments, but having them is not enough. Got to keep them. It's like the Old Testament. They had all the law and all that, and they knew it, but they didn't let the law take them to where it should. And keep them, observe them. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Okay, in a very short verse here, he who loves me, he who loves me shall be loved, third time, by my Father. I will love him. So we have us loving, God the Father loving, and Jesus Christ loving. Now, we come to the phrase tonight, he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Now, we spent time last week on the distinction of how God the Father loves the world in John 3:16 and how he loves believers walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 3:16, he loved unbelieving world to meet the needs of the world. He gave to the magnitude of their needs. And the same is in reference to believers who are filled with the Spirit. Example, you go into a millionaire's house. A millionaire doesn't mean much anymore today, does it? But you walk into a billionaire's home, whatever, and you look and he sees he's got this baby here, and the baby's got a dollar and a half rattler. And you go, hey, don't you really love your baby? I mean, my goodness, why don't you give it a Corvette? Why don't you give it a rose? Why don't you give it this or that? Because the child does not have the capacity. But he loves to the limit that they can with that child. So, the capacity of the child to receive the love. This is the same principle of the love of God the Father in John 3:16, the love of God the Father in John 14:21. So, he who has my commandments keeps them. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Now, before we move on to the next phrase, I was studying this and it came to me, wow, I missed it. Before we come to the next phrase, I will love him and I will disclose myself to him, which are phenomenal statements. But I want to look about conditions of love. Condition of God the Father loving the believer. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Now, at first glance, if you look at it closely, it appears that God's love is dependent on the loving of Jesus, the believer loving Jesus Christ. So let's examine briefly this process. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. All right, what is the condition of loving Jesus Christ? Having the commandments, which are faith and love, and fulfilling them, obeying them. So, how do we fulfill, obey those commandments? Faith in Holy Spirit. Okay, the source of this love is the Holy Spirit. We cannot love Jesus Christ with the love that he's looking for in the flesh. We simply cannot do it. So to love Jesus Christ, one must be in the power of the Holy Spirit for spiritual love, and this is the love directed toward Jesus Christ as well as one another, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he who loves me, this is spiritual love, by the Holy Spirit. People, we got to get away, and people got to get away from this idea, oh, I love Jesus, and I just love him, and all of this hand stuff, and rolling your eyes heavenward, and all that. That doesn't impress God. Just doesn't impress God. It's the love that is given to us by the Spirit. That is the love he is looking for. That's the love that counts. So we cannot love Jesus Christ with the love he is looking for in our flesh nature. So to love Jesus Christ, one must be in the power of the Holy Spirit, for spiritual love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He who loves me, spiritual love by the Holy Spirit, shall be loved by my Father. Again, doesn't the Father already love every believer? Yes. But again, the magnitude and the impact of the love of God the Father for the believer is one is one that dependent on the needs, the difference between the filling of the Spirit, the believer is filled with the Spirit, and the believer is not. The love that is required and needed differs in both cases. It is just amazing to read. I thought about bringing some. I'm talking about some pretty good scholars. How they just ramble on at how the love of John 3:16 differs from this love, and it's just not the same, and they just, it's very weak at best. But it's not difficult to understand if we understand that love has direction, love has magnitude, and love has an impact, or an effect or an impact. So, when you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, your primary need is what? To get back into the filling of the Spirit. So the love of God that you're going to receive from God is a love that's going to get you back into the filling of the Holy Spirit. So you should be aware that your needs, and this is very important, you should be aware that your needs, as far as His loving you, differs when you walk by the Holy Spirit and when you're in the flesh. The love is different. And the need is different, therefore the love from the Holy Spirit and the love from the Father is different. When you're walking in the power of the Spirit, you're under satanic attacks, maneuvers, you are having all these problems, you are blessed with a different kind of blessing than the one who is not even walking in the power of the Spirit. So, this is what's going on. It's not like it's a condition. It's just that this love that we have to have toward Him is a love that comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. In a minor concept, not fully applicable, and so don't interpret it on every way, but a husband-wife love is wonderful. But let's say that one hurts the other, and it really is a hurt. Okay, but they still love each other. There's still a love. But it has different magnitude and different impact than when everything is going well. There needs to be the impact of that love, and then you get back into the momentum. This is analogous to being filled with the Holy Spirit or not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, he who loves me, fruit of the Holy Spirit, shall be loved of my Father. Now he shall be loved. He shall be loved with a magnitude of love, an impact of love that differs from His love for a believer walking in the flesh. Yes? Well, what is keeping? It's obeying. And how do we obey that? Okay. Well, keeping is the same thing. Doing. You have the law or the commandments, you do them. You keep them. Keep them means to do them. Obey them. And we do that by faith. So we're just right back to that point. Okay. Yes, means obey. All right. No, that's, if you looked up the word, you have about five different words used. And faith is one of them. But obedience, keep, guard, those kind of things. Yeah. Yeah. When we dealt with the word. Yeah. Okay. That's right. Who loves me, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, shall be loved by my Father. Just on that score, just a little humor here. Don and Nancy will be listening, and Nancy will go, "That's not right. And Donna will say, shh, be quiet, I'm listening to this. And then she'll say something else, and he'll say, would you do that if you were down there? She said, probably. So, okay, he who believe, who loves me, fruit of the Spirit, shall be loved of my Father. Now we have two phenomenal statements by Jesus Christ. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. I hope we can finish these two phrases tonight. This is just a remarkable statement by Jesus Christ. So, be saved by faith. To be saved by faith in him is just an astronomical, phenomenal demonstration of his love. The magnitude of his love there. Now, to have Jesus Christ to disclose himself, though, as believers, this is the greatest motivation that I can give you for walking in the power of the Spirit by faith. That the more we walk by faith in the Spirit, the more he will reveal himself to us. I will love him. This refers to the believer who loves Jesus Christ out of the Holy Spirit and who is therefore loved to the Father. I, Jesus Christ our Savior, will love. Future. So we got to look at what that future means. Future active indicative of agapao. The word for love that we, same word for love we have all nearly all the time. Now, first the source of this love. This is a reference to Jesus Christ. It's a reference to the humanity of Jesus Christ. So, let's ask some questions. If he loves by his deity, by his being the Son of God, could we imitate or could we love in the same way he does? No. We're not God. We're not deity. We're not deity. So we would not be able to obey the command, love one another as I've loved you, just as he's loved us. Now, if he loves us by his perfect humanity, can we love as he loved? Huh? No. We're not perfect humanity. We have a sin nature. So again, we couldn't do what he said to do, because we're not perfect. But if the humanity, since the humanity, loves by the power of the Holy Spirit, can we now love as he loved? Yeah, because we have the Holy Spirit. So we can now love as he loved, because he loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the direction of this love, the believer who is in the power of the Holy Spirit, loving him, and loved by the God the Father. That's the direction of this love. The magnitude of this love, to provide every need of the believer walking in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to come more to that. The impact of this love on the believer, he will exalt Jesus Christ in his life, and he will glorify Jesus Christ, and will have a sense of the impact of the love of Christ for him, and we'll come to that with the next phrase. But right now, let's just look at John 15. John 15, next chapter. And we want to just read verses 10 through 12. Verses 10 through 12. If you keep my commandments, faith and love, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Regardless of the circumstances of life, you walk by faith in the Spirit. He had the impact or the effect of his love, and that impact or effect is this joy that we have. And I will love him. Now we have one of the most gracious and wonderful impacts of the love of Christ. And will disclose myself to him. Many people are afraid to disclose themselves to another person. Many men take this on. They don't want to reveal themselves even to their wife or someone in life. They just want to keep a barrier so that you don't get too close. Okay, this is a future active indicative of emphorizo. The verb means to manifest. It means to make known, to reveal, to disclose something. It's close to the verb we had when we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the unveiling, the lifting of the veil, taking away that veil so that you see Jesus Christ. So this is what it means. Now this future tense, I will disclose myself to him, future tense, after the sending of the Holy Spirit. So there's the future tense is dependent on the sending of the Holy Spirit so that we can love him with the love he's looking for. The active voice, Jesus Christ, keeps on revealing himself to every believer who keeps on walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. The indicative is the reality of Jesus Christ revealing more and more of himself as we love in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've taken that much of it. There's so much more to see about Jesus Christ than just that he is the Son of God, just that he came to earth, took the form of man, took our place on the cross, died for our penalty of the sin, rose again, therefore is our Savior and Lord. People, these are but a beginning. These are but a beginning of knowing him. These are but a beginning of having himself revealed. And unfortunately, too many believers are satisfied with just those things about him. And what a shame. We're going to see how much we miss if we just stay on those things. He is our Savior and Lord, and all these wonderful things, just a beginning. He has much more to reveal to us. But that is all that he can reveal to us at the time. And now that we're saved, now that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we walk in the Holy Spirit, he can reveal more of himself. But we have to be able for him to reveal himself. We do not have the capacity, not in the filling of the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh, you don't have the capacity for him to reveal anything to you. And that is what this future tense is about. We have to be in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then the filling of the Spirit in our lives. Now, here is Jesus Christ disclosing himself. What does that mean? What does it mean for Jesus Christ to reveal himself? And how does Jesus Christ, our Savior, manifest himself? How's he going to do this? First of all, it is not going to be corporately. This is not just to every believer. It can be. It can be to every believer, but it's not. In reality, it just isn't, because not every believer is going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many prefer to sin and live in sin, to live in the flesh, satisfy self. Many others, they try to be filled with the Spirit by works, something they do, repentance, confession, sorrow, all these things. But there have always been a few who dared to walk in the Holy Spirit by faith, and of these Jesus Christ was able to reveal himself. So it's not a corporate thing. It's not a corporate thing. We do not reveal ourselves to everybody, physically or inwardly. Secondly, it is not physically. He is not here for us to see him physically, as he was with his disciples. They walked with him. They saw him, ate with him, heard him speak, teach. They saw him walk on water, perform miracles. But no longer is the Word made flesh tabernacling among men. He's not here any longer. We cannot see him physically. No longer we will see throughout the church age with our physical eyes see Jesus Christ. Look over at 1 John 1. Go to Revelation and come back. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 1. what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, Jesus Christ. They saw him. That's going to be wonderful. They walked with him. They heard his voice. They know what the sound of his voice is like. But he isn't going to reveal himself, manifest himself that way to us. So it's not going to be corporately. It's going to be individually. It's not going to be physically. 3. Nor will he disclose himself to us through visions and dreams. Now, there are people all through the church age that have seen Jesus appear, and they've dreams are right there in front of them in their room, what they were high on or whatever. Now, as wondrous, the vision given to Isaiah, for an example, where the Lord manifested himself to Isaiah when he was as sitting on a throne. The angel cried out, "Holy, holy, holy," and Isaiah got to see him that way. But it will not be through visions. It will not be through dreams that the Lord is going to manifest himself as we have here in this passage. It will not be as some want to claim that they've seen Jesus. Well, they haven't. So, how will Jesus manifest himself to those who love him in the Spirit? It will be spiritually. It will be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Context of our passage is all about the sending of the Spirit. He will reveal himself spiritually. This is how he's going to do it. It will be a real reality, a vivid realization of his being, and it will be done spiritually. Inside of us, it will be a deep sense of his presence, his closeness, so close, so real. Unfortunately, not many believers get to experience this, not just as Savior, but as friend, of his sustaining love in good times and in difficult times. All this presence of him revealing himself is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if people do not know how to be filled with the Spirit, people, I'm sorry, he's not going to reveal himself. He's not going to manifest himself if you're in the flesh. The flesh can't appreciate it. So why would he reveal himself to one who can't appreciate it, can't grasp it? So he's not going to do that. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. So to experience this closeness, the making himself manifested, we must be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability, capacity by his power to see the revealing of Jesus Christ. First, only by the Holy Spirit does he make the Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, so luminous, so real, so vital to us as we read and study his text. There are many people who study this book. They got the Greek and the Hebrew, and they just study and all of these things. People, you can't do it in the flesh. You can do it academically, like you study Shakespeare's writings. But for them to have a spiritual impact cannot be done in the flesh. And there are many people walking around with a great deal of flesh knowledge, even about Jesus Christ, but it's not real. So as we study his word, meditate on his word, on the scriptures, the precious person of Jesus Christ becomes clearer and clearer. It becomes so personal by the work of the Holy Spirit illuminating the Scriptures. And so it is more than reading a letter, or it's like, just like, but it's more than a letter of someone you love. The more you spend time with someone, the more you love them. You get a letter and you just read it over and over. And sometimes, boy, you just see things you didn't see. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us with the Word of God. The more we study it, he reveals more. He illuminates more. So the more time we spend with someone that you love and who loves you, the more you learn about them. The more they will reveal to you. The more relaxed they are to reveal to you. But it's a gradual thing. No one none of us are just going to reveal everything about ourselves to someone. But over a period of time, where you spend time together, you reveal and you learn, and you learn to love more and more of that person, or not love them, I guess. But you learn to love them more and more. So once you think about it, how else would we learn about Jesus Christ? How else could he reveal so much to us than through the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit in the text? What's he going to do it? Depends on the Holy Spirit's illuminating work. No, it will not be by reading this book. It will not be by spending multitude of hours every day studying this book. And if you're studying in the flesh, it's wood, hay, and straw. It has no impact as far as revealing and knowing Jesus Christ. Going to a church all the time where a pastor does not teach the Bible and does not know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, he's not going to be revealed. He's not going to manifest himself, because again, he'd be manifesting himself to the flesh, and the flesh can never grasp it. So it's not going to be by studying the Bible out of the filling of the Spirit. The flesh cannot grasp the truth of the Word of God. It simply cannot do it. And so he's not going to reveal himself to that type of a person. Flesh cannot grasp the revealing of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not going to manifest himself to our flesh nature. This is absurd to think that he will manifest himself to the corrupt nature of our flesh. This is one thing so many religious people have not grasped, and that's how corrupt we are. Our flesh nature is continuously being corrupted. From the moment you accepted Christ, all the way, it's just continually being corrupted. You think he's going to manifest himself to a corrupt nature? He's not going to. That is just absurd to think he's going to. It is deceitful above all else. A deceitful person cannot see the truth. They're deceived. He's not going to reveal himself to that. Incurably wounded. Not going to reveal himself to someone incurably wounded in their flesh nature. Full of evil. Full of evil. People that blind you. You can't see the revelation of Christ. And the last one, my favorite, insane. What good does it do to go in and reveal yourself, try to talk to someone who is insane? Blah, blah, blah. They cannot grasp it. He's not going to. And until we get into our head that if you're not in the Spirit, you're in the flesh, so you better know how to be in the Spirit. And very few know how to be in the power of the Spirit. I'm sorry. There are a multitude of preachers all over the world who know nothing about how to be filled with the Spirit. Just do not know. And I'm telling you, you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit, it's in the flesh. All your goodness, all your study, all your proclaiming is in the flesh. So, you really think the Son of God is going to manifest himself to the likes of our flesh nature? He's not going to do it. It's a waste of his time. Just not going to. Many think he will, though. Many think he will, but he will not. This is, they just have not grasped how corrupt our flesh nature is. And that's why they come across with stuff as, invite Jesus into your heart. No, he does the inviting. Why do we want to invite Jesus into a soul that is continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably wounded, full of evil, insane? Come on in, Jesus. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. He gives us the invitation. Believe in Jesus Christ. He's not going to come in to the sewer. He's not going to come in to the insane asylum. And where we dwell. He's just not going to do that. Jesus Christ demonstrates his love by extending the invitation to us that we all believe in him as Savior. Then once we are saved forever, know him as Savior, he desires to manifest himself. But he can't do that yet. So what does he do in John 14? He sends the Holy Spirit. I will go and I'll ask the Father, send the Holy Spirit. He wants to manifest himself to us. He can't do it in our flesh nature. So he sends us the Holy Spirit. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, he manifests himself to us by the power and illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is through his written word, it is through his written word that the incarnate word manifests himself. It is through this written word that the incarnate word Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, manifest himself to us. So let's face it, even though we can physically see each other, it is not until they release their soul, you get into their soul, and love starts its journey. And the more time you spend, the more they manifest themselves, and the more you manifest yourself, and the more we know each other. Okay, next. What is the effect? What are the effects, the impact of Jesus Christ revealing himself? We know how he does it. Now what are the impact, the effect of Jesus Christ revealing himself to us? First, just the fact that he reveals himself is a blessing to us and to our lives. Just as the blessing that God the Father reveals himself to us, even when we were unbelievers. What a great blessing that God the Father revealed himself to us, his enemies. In Romans chapter 1, continues to reveal himself to us through the Holy Spirit. But there's a blessing in just knowing Jesus Christ, just having him that close in our soul and to know him. Now, here's a good one. This is beautiful. Let's open your Bibles to Job 42. You ever heard of that? Job 42? Okay. Let's go to Job 42. This is so beautiful. Now, you recall, this is the last chapter of Job. Had you asked Job at the beginning of chapter 1, he would have claimed to know Jesus Christ, to love the coming Messiah, all these things. He would have sworn he did. But he would have been making false claims. He had to go through a long, terrible journey, unbelievably difficult journey, to discover the truth. In fact, he would have to go through 41 chapters to reach the point of chapter 42. So as we read this, remember that Job has never seen the incarnate Messiah, the incarnate Christ. Okay, Job 42, 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask thee, and do thou instruct me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees thee. He's never seen the incarnate Jesus, but what does he say? Now my eyes have seen thee. Therefore, I retract, take back everything I've said, and I repent in dust and ashes. Okay, let's look at verse 5 for a moment. Kind of concentrate on verse 5. This is so powerful. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. This is analogous to hearing in the flesh. But, okay, something's changed. But now my eyes see thee. See, this is like having in the John passage, you have my commandments, you got to keep them. Just having them doesn't do anything. That's analogous to I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear. That's having the commandments. But now my eye sees thee. The truth is now opened to Job. Jesus Christ has now manifested himself to Job. He is not a God who demands that Job do for him, Job 1:1. But now he has manifested that he is a God who does all for Job. Job now sees what God is really like. He has manifested himself through all these chapters. So this is one of the most wonderful places to be in life, and it can be yours every day. You follow him by walking in the power of the Spirit, and each day he reveals more and more of himself, of his glory, his love, his person. All these things to us by the power of his Spirit. So there is still more impact. There is comfort. That was just one impact. Now there is comfort, there's joy and support from Jesus Christ in life, especially in trials, sufferings, and the stress of life, a test of desertion, a test of loneliness, from which Jesus Christ himself suffered. So the various heart trials, we'll call them, domestic trials, through which nothing can sustain like his presence and the revealing of himself when we're in that kind of trouble. And let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. As we turn to Philippians 2, please remember the John 15:11. I had it down twice, didn't realize it. But in John 11, you will share my joy if you abide in my love. He will share my joy. He has a special joy for a revealing of himself that just brings you joy to know those things, to walk with him. There's just a joy in that. Philippians chapter 1, or chapter 2. Let me get there with you. I pass it up. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Since therefore there is encouragement in Christ, since there is any consolation of love, and there is any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So if we have this love for Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, he can reveal more and more of himself. And of course, I guess one of my favorite verses in my own life and in different times that different people experience, let's turn to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Okay, Isaiah 26. Verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, and I'm reading from the NIV because I think it's closer to the original manuscript. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, or steadfast. Okay, this is difficult, people. Where is Christ going to manifest himself to us? In our mind, in our soul. Where's the battle fought? The battle's fought in the mind. This is the battlefield. This is why it's so difficult. People, it's just so difficult to keep your mind stayed on Jesus Christ. The mind battles are unbelievable. Most people, they say, don't use but maybe 10 or 15% of the capacity of the mind and all that stuff. But it's very difficult. If it's a mind battle, it's very, very difficult. But you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. In you. Now, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. For God, the Lord, is the rock eternal. Now, do you know why this verse is experienced by so few believers? That peace that he gives to so many? Because few experience the knowledge and the knowing and the allowing of Christ to manifest himself. If you know the truth of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ in Scripture by the illuminating minister of the Spirit, keep their mind set on someone. You have to know him. People, it's hard to keep your mind on someone, especially if you don't know much. The more you know about a person, the more you can think of them, the more you can know of them, and just keep your mind. But if you know this much, then that's about how much you'll be able to keep your mind set on them. That's about it. I mean, I hate to be base here, but, well, let's see. She was really a hot-looking chick. And that's about it. That's about all you can keep your mind set on her. But the more you learn, the more you can think. the more you can. So the more she reveals herself to you, the more to the man, the more he can concentrate. The more we allow Jesus Christ to manifest himself to us by the Holy Spirit through the illumination of Scripture, the longer we can keep our minds stayed on him, the longer we can think of all the wonders that he has shown us, going back to how he was God, and those things that we already knew partially, but now we learn more and more, and he reveals more and more. So it's very easy to keep your mind stayed on him longer, and to know enough so that you can experience this peace. You have to spend time in the Holy Spirit so that Jesus Christ can reveal himself. Keep in the power of the Spirit, studying his word, so he can manifest himself. So you just have to say these words: though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How do you have that kind of peace? Keeping your mind stayed on him and allowing him to reveal more and more of himself. We get so busy with the world and with activities and families and all these things, we just don't have time for him to reveal himself to us. This is why we have to spend that time every day giving him the private time to reveal or manifest himself to us. Now, in what way does Jesus Christ reveal himself in our lives? Spiritually, through the Holy Spirit. How much we walk in the power of the Spirit. What are the impacts, the effects of revealing himself? Under the conditions did Jesus Christ reveal himself? So, what are the conditions of his revealing himself in these ways? He who has my commandments, keeps them, obeys them, does them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. Okay, let's close with a very important point here. Let's don't lose a very important point. By faith. Faith is the battle. The faith by which we are saved does not end at salvation. We don't go from faith in him and salvation to works and laws and do and do. As the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is being saved by grace, living by the law. We studied that book. That's the way most people are. People, you don't leave faith at the cross. Do not. You cannot leave it and then try to walk in the flesh. Do we allow Jesus Christ to keep manifesting himself to us? People, faith is the foundation, the basis of our salvation, the basis of being united with Jesus Christ for all eternity. But don't you understand, faith is the way that we have a richness with him in our life. The first part is I and you and me. But now we're talking about manifesting himself. Faith doesn't end at the cross. Faith must be our walk moment by moment. Trusting his Spirit. His Spirit can pour in the fruit into us, his love. And the power of that love, we just allow Christ to reveal himself and to manifest himself to us. And it'll be people, it'll be individual. It'll be totally individual. He will not manifest himself to you as he will to me as he will to you. We all have our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the more we walk with him, the more we have an impact of that relationship. And it won't be like somebody else's. This is not something that's impersonal. This is extremely personal with each person who walks in the Spirit. Christ reveals himself according to the needs we have, according to our personality, according to all these things that make us so and what we are. He will manifest himself. And the more he reveals himself to us, all the more he increases in importance in our lives. John said, he must increase, but I decrease. How does that happen? The more he reveals himself, the more we just smile and say, of course, of course, of course. You're just all these things, and I'm just happy to sit at your feet and listen to you, watch you reveal yourself to me. So nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. What is the proof of the demonstration that we love Jesus Christ? The more we love others as he loved us. This is our demonstration of that love we have for Christ. And the more he reveals to us, the more and the richer the magnitude of our love toward others. See, the more he reveals himself, it increases the magnitude of our love toward others. This is powerful. Love begets love, as it were. Jesus Christ loves us. The Holy Spirit pours love into us. We have the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reveals Himself. And the more He reveals Himself, the deeper is the magnitude of our love. This all begins with having His commandments, keeping them, and understanding what that means. If you see works here, then that's how you're going to see love. You've got to work for it. You've got to earn it. What a tragedy when people do that. When people do that. So this is so difficult to love someone who hurt you, offended you. Why? Because your eyes are on yourself. All right? You offended me. But people, if we keep our eyes set on Him and allow Him to reveal His love, Himself to us, we don't even see, concern ourselves with the hurt that they've done to us. We just love them as He loved us. This is really powerful. So these are the things that we had in this verse, and now we'll pick it up next week with the following verse, verse 22. See if we can make some progress. But I got so involved in this passage with all the seeming conditions of love, how many times love is used in the verse. It's so powerful. Okay, let's. Any other questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just stand amazed that the Son of God, the Savior of man, desires to manifest Himself and make Himself known to me individually. That's just amazing. While others may not even want to love, He does. He wants to manifest Himself. He wants to reveal Himself. He is so rich in His being. He is so glorious in His being. We will never grasp all that He is here on earth, but we can sure get a head start by allowing Him to reveal Himself to us by just living in faith in the Holy Spirit. Not even by anything we do. He doesn't ask us to do this or do that. Just love Him by the love that the Holy Spirit gives us. Father, it is our objective to take this passage. Let it be the encouragement to walk by faith in the Spirit. Not so that we can get rewards, not so this or that, but so that we can allow Jesus Christ to reveal Himself to us. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.